After Mass on Thursday this week, Paul later said to me as he was going out, "You know, Father, about a group of six, don't you?" And I said, "Well, yes." He said, "Well, last weekend, Liverpool let in seven." I laughed, of course, but I shouldn't have really, knowing that the day before United had thrashed 6-1, but I did. Talking of groups of six, this week we got another set of rules from our bishops on what the government calls life cycle events. So for weddings, we're allowed 15 maximum for both the service and the reception. Baptism outside of Mass, just 6, while funerals stay the same. A far cry from the way that we normally celebrate such important milestones, and a world away from the sumptuous feast described in the first reading from Isaiah today, which Steve read for us. Two things to notice about that feast are that A, it takes place in the open air, on this mountain, how we prepare a banquet, and B, that it's for everyone, it's for all people. So there's no shielding, lockdown, or social distancing here. You will, of course, be familiar with this reading because it's often chosen for funerals, with its invitation to the joy of heaven once death is destroyed and there are no more tears to be shed. But as with all scripture, it's a living word, and therefore it's relevant to us while we're still here on earth, too. From the mountaintop, you can see forever, but to have that vision, you first have to climb the mountain. Unlike me, who always takes the easy way up by ski lift, anyone who has climbed a mountain will tell you it's not easy. But boy, is it worth it when you get there. A panorama of sumptuous views of the beauty of creation. The interesting thing, I think, about the Gospel today is that today's Gospel story is about a royal wedding, something we in England are very familiar with, and which is announced publicly a year or more before it takes place so the whole country knows it's going to happen. And with all that time to prepare, rearrange diaries, buy new outfits, and all the other things that guests have to do, there's no excuse, barring illness, for not turning up. As in last week's Gospel, Jesus again is talking directly to the chief priests and the elders of the people, and he's inviting them to join him to climb the mountain of the new covenant that he is bringing from God. But they reject his invitation, reacting like the farmers and businessmen in the story, with indifference or outright hostility, for which they have no real excuse, since they've known this was coming for centuries. Many Christians, of course, have a similar attitude to our Lord's invitation today. For example, it's that time of the year when I get parents, most of whom I've not seen since the child was baptized 10 years ago, asking for a copy of their child's baptism certificate for entry into our Catholic high school, Cardinal Allen. It's fairly soul-destroying, I have to say, but very much in line with what Jesus is describing in the Gospel today. All have been invited, of course, to the Eucharistic feast, but all have found an excuse for not to come. I just pray then that Christ our King will be more lenient than the King in the story, for many are called, but few are chosen. A person who is Christian in name only often has a sense of self-righteousness, believing that simply being baptized entitles you to a place at the Lord's table in heaven, yet, as we see, without wearing a proper garment, you're out. If you accept the invitation to the wedding feast, which obviously is a sign of the Eucharistic feast, there is a condition. You must be clothed appropriately with works of faith. What really counts is living as a baptized person, not the certificate. Baptism without faith is useless. Practicing your faith as you make your ascent to God's mountain is not always easy, we all know that. But St. Paul gives us a pointer as to how to tackle the climb. "There's nothing I cannot master with the help of the one who gives me strength. I'm ready for anything, full stomach or empty, poverty or plenty. The one who gives him and us strength is the Holy Spirit. He it is who invites everyone to the Messianic banquet. He's the one that we actually receive in baptism. He's the one promised by Jesus to be our comforter and guide when he said he would be with us all days to the end of the world. And when we look at St. Paul, we realise, of course, that he climbed a bigger mountain than we will ever have to. He suffered more than most, shipwrecks, floggings, hunger, and hostility over many years in God's service. Yet he kept the faith. He ran the race to the end, and so achieved the crown of glory at the Messianic banquet in heaven. The Holy Spirit did it for him, and he'll do it for us if we let him.